So is a drone survival guide really for protection? Could it actually save lives?
I think it's primarily an art project, and I think that's also how people should see it. There's definitely some functional aspects to it. I definitely did a lot of research, but the idea that a document like this can save your life is, I think, very naive.
So what do you want to achieve with the creation of a drone survival guide?
What I've noticed also from the reactions is that people find drones very mysterious and scary. People don't understand them. And for me, understanding new technology starts by recognizing that it's a technology like any other, and we have to know what its capabilities are. And I think the survival guide kind of gives you an idea what the capabilities are, you know, how big they are, these very practical things, what kind of sensors these drones have. And I think in the end, for people, it will become easier to not only discuss them, but also kind of position themselves in such a phenomenon.
So where did you get the knowledge about these drones?
Well, the information on the guide, I used two main sources. And one is an American website. I think a year and a half, they did a quite nice article about drone countermeasures based on the sensor that it has. And the other one is an Al-Qaeda document found in Mali. It was actually much more substantial anti-drone countermeasures or drone countermeasures. And AP Press released those countermeasures, and some of those are from that document.
Your drone survival guide is printed on aluminium paper. Why that?
The reflective paper, I think it works nice in quite a lot of ways. So one of the tips, it's a bit silly actually if you think about it, but actually one of the countermeasures which was in the Al-Qaeda guide was actually putting glass or pieces of mirror on flat rooftops, so the camera of the drone would be blinded by the reflection. So I wanted to have the drone survival guide actually also function as a countermeasure itself. So I printed it on the most reflective paper I could find, so you can see yourself in the paper. So it actually will work as a countermeasure as well. That's one reason. The other reason is also that I like this kind of idea of a mirror. In the end, you know, we are the ones building drones. We are also the ones looking at the pictures the drone is taking as surveillance. So in the end, it's just like a very sophisticated mirror. You know, in the end, it's people looking at other people.
And why is a survival guide bilingual?
I think the bilingual is very important. Also, the fact that I'm asking on my website for people for translations, and I've received over 30 translations so far. And I really like that because I think that there's a lot of art projects about drones, a lot of information about drones, but you can see that almost the entirety of it is really focused on Western Europe, on America, on the UK. Most of the information is in English. And I think, you know, the world is not an English-speaking place. I think we should be really aware of the fact that information should be shared, should be public. So I thought that if this information is public, I think it should be made public for as many people as possible. And I chose to translate it into Pashto, which is a Farsi language spoken actually in the area Afghanistan, Pakistan, where most people, civilians, actually are targeted by drones. So I really wanted it also to have an effect on actual places where drones are being used.
Have you already planned a new project, which theme is also drones and surviving drones and being a reflector to our drone policies?
No, not really. My first idea was actually to do a sound project, because I think more than what you actually hear from eyewitnesses, that especially in Gaza Strip, people hear the sound of drones all the time. And especially if it's cloudy, you will actually hear them before you will see them. And I think this is very interesting because collecting the sounds of drones would actually also, in the kind of metaphor of bird watching, would be actually quite interesting. It's quite hard, I think, because, you know, how can you record the sounds of all the drones? But I know some of the sounds are already out there. So I would really like to start with a lot of help from other people to kind of record the sound of drones and also then put them on a different website.
How do drones sound like? I'm wondering actually.
Yes, well, I mean, first of all, there's not a thing as this is one drone or the other. Eh? There's really large drones like the Global Hawk, which is also used in Germany, you know, which is a jet fighter. So that will sound completely different than the Predator drones and the smaller drones Israel's using over Gaza, which are with a propeller engine. But what you hear from the sound, I've never heard it myself, but when you see YouTube videos, when you hear eyewitnesses, they say it's a really annoying sound. And that's also where the name drone comes from, the humming of a bee. But it kind of sounds like a lawnmower. That's how people describe it. So it's like a very high-pitched, annoying sound.
So after doing a drone survival guide and maybe doing something with sounds again, are you scared of persecution, that you may never enter the US again or something like this?
I don't think people from intelligence or military services, they're very interested in my project. I mean, the information that's on the drone survival guide, like I said, has been publicly available and declassified for quite some time. There's nothing on there that is actually useful in a war scenario. I think the only thing I'm doing is actually sharing public information, and I have actually no indication that that is considered otherwise by governments or whatever.
Mr. Pater, thank you very much for your time.